Welcome to this special Cups edition of Green Ball. I'm Marie Crow. In this episode, we cross to Isabel Joyce with a wrap-up about the Women's T20 World Cup. We then head to the four corners of Ireland to uncover some great stories from the Irish Senior Cup and National Cup competitions. And in our segment, Answer Me This, we chat to National Men's Selector Andrew White. Now, on with the show. Now, Isabel Joyce is with me and we're going to reflect on the Women's World Cup over the last few weeks. Isabel, we're going to start by going through the games because there were many different takeaways from them. Let's start with England and your thoughts on the performance.
Yeah, well, I thought that, you know, it was good to see the top order performed well at the bat. But then once we lost those wickets, our middle to lower order didn't fire. We probably went a little bit too hard and lost a lot of wickets very, very quickly. And that ended up in us only scoring 105, which is never going to be enough against England. However, we did do well to take as many wickets as we did. And Carey Murray in particular was impressive and bowled well on a pitch that suited spinners, but you still have to bowl well and set the right fields. So taking three wickets for her against such a big team was a really massive takeaway for the team and would have given her good confidence.
Pakistan came next and there was an expectation that Ireland might have built on that England performance and potentially could have turned around with and got the win, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, it was a strange one. The girls looked much more nervous against Pakistan, and perhaps it's because that was the game they targeted. Mm-hmm. A lot more pressure on them to perform. We didn't bowl well to Muneeba Ali, who scored a century. And in that highlights reel, it was a funny one. We just kept on seeing her playing shots to bad balls. It wasn't, and not to take away from her achievement, she obviously scored 100 in a T20 game, which is amazing no matter what. But we didn't bowl well to her, and you know, it's probably the disappointing thing for them, for the Irish girls, that they didn't perform well. Our plans weren't good and we didn't execute whatever plans we did have. And I think as well, with the left-right-hand combination throughout the innings, that really told against them as well. So it was really disappointing and it'll be a big learning curve for the group to deal with the nerves when you're hoping to win a game as opposed to when you're underdogs.
Yeah, the West Indies came next and it's difficult to bounce back from what happened in Pakistan. And in the early stages, it looked like Ireland had bounced back and there was a lot of positives. But again, it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game to watch, especially I think if you were if you weren't up for either team, it would have been good to watch, which can't be said about every game, but definitely better to watch if you're a West Indies fan than an Irish one. It was disappointing to lose it because it was one of those West Indies actually had to really, really work hard for that win, and we lost it in so many little things that we did. So that's tough to take. I think as well, you know, we just didn't play the innings well near the back end. Our lower order came in and tried to smash everything, and all they needed to do was, you know, hand the strike over to Gabby Lewis when she was in, rather than try and score boundaries when they were joining her. And then, you know, everyone just came in swinging, and we ended up 135, where we easily could have got 150, and that would have been comfortable. Victory. So again, that was a really difficult lesson to learn, and I'm sure the girls are still thinking about it. And our fielding as well, I mean, I think that was the heartbreaking thing for everyone watching, because we know the work that they've put in that area, and unfortunately when that starts going wrong, it's really catching, you know, and I mean that in their catching was bad, and it was like a cold, they all caught it. And luckily in the last game there was a good catch taken early on, and then that seemed to set the standard. But in this game, it really cost us. And I think a couple of people will be still having nightmares about some fumbles and some drop catches. But that being said, having fielded so poorly, to get that close to a top nation, or albeit one that's going through a bit of a rebuilding phase, there's lots of positives to take from that.
And the India game then was the last game, and heading into it, the expectation was, of course, that it would be India that would go through. When you were watching that, obviously the conditions were really bad. How did you think the girls were feeling that day?
I think they were feeling pretty good, to be honest. It showed resilience. I think probably we'd be more used to those conditions than India. Mm-hmm. So even those small little things going into a game, you can feel like you have won over on your opposition. So that will have, I think that played into our hands a little bit going into the match. We caught really well in I mean, when we saw the images of how strong that wind was, that's really, really difficult with the ball swirling in the air. There's, you know, I'm sure plenty of camogie and hurling players out there will tell you how difficult it is when it's in the middle of winter here and it's the wind swirling around. But if you drop it, it's not as much of a big deal as in a cricket match, obviously, because you don't get too many chances. So I thought we did that really well. And then after the absolute shambles of the start of the second innings, I mean, Orla Prendergast, she batted the way that she did throughout the tournament. And if you bat really attacking cricket like she does, you're going to have times when you get out like that. So mm-hmm. I've absolutely no qualms with that. And then just a horror run out, those things happen as well. So for Laura Delaney and Gabby to come together, I thought Laura really showed her leadership. She just looked like nobody was going to get her out. She was incredible. So I was really pleased for her that she, after being knocked down the order in the West Indies game, which I think looking back, they'll think was a mistake. They should have sent her in to bat with Gabby. But that being said, she did. She came back and she showed them why she's number four. And I'm just sorry for those two that they didn't get to see how close they could get or if they could get Ireland over the line if it hadn't trained. I don't think they could have scored any more runs. Even like I'm sure they were trying to keep up with Duckworth Lewis, but with the start that they had a lot of catching up to do. So, you know, they'll be happy-ish with how that game went, but just sad they didn't get to finish it out.
Yeah. So look, let's look at the broader picture there. And I guess the harsh reality is that they went to the World Cup and they didn't get a win, and that's not what they were going to be hoping for.
Yeah. Well, we're still without a win at a World Cup, and I really thought this was the tournament it was going to happen in. I do think a lot of these players will be at the next one, hopefully, if we can qualify for that next one. And they've gained a lot of experience in this one. And I mean, my old hockey coach, Mick McKinnon, used to always say you have to lose one to win one. And that group haven't lost one, haven't lost all the games at a World Cup yet, if that makes sense. It's kind of like when they didn't qualify for the previous World Cup, they lost that heartbreakingly, and then they learned how to win to get through to this one. So hopefully they'll qualify for the next one, and then that's the time they'll come through. I mean, when we didn't win a match in previous World Cups, it did feel like we were the number 10 team and we weren't even really close to winning a match. And that didn't feel wrong, if that makes sense. However, this group is so much better than we were. And I don't mean that as a disrespect to the teammates that I had. We were playing in a different time. But I mean it as a good thing for our current group, that they're so talented and they've got such world stars. We saw Orla Prendergast being named in the team of the tournament, albeit as 12th. I think she should be in the team, to be honest. But so that's always good signs. And you know, we haven't seen the best of that group yet either. We know plenty of players looking like they're starting to learn their trade, and plenty more to learn from here on in. So it is exciting, but I think things like not training under lights really cost us. That's very disappointing for the girls. I think that game that they had a lot of drop catches and poor fielding, that showed up. Also, it's the first time that management group have played in a tournament where you play the second match in a day where there's a double header and you don't have as much time to warm up. So that's a big learning curve for them, and they'll know how to go about it going forward, hopefully, if it's the same group. But that I think that was that flustered us in that second game against Pakistan. Definitely easier playing the earlier match where you've got as much time as you want to prepare. So all those kinds of things are important, and that's why we need this group to stay together, not only the players but the management team around Ed and Glenn.
After the tournament, Laura Delaney said that there's more to come for her side, that we haven't seen the best of them. But is this a setback now, the fact that they didn't win a game there and that would have been a target?
I don't think so. I mean, we would have been expecting them to win because we're following them and we know how much improvement they've made and how much they have to make. But they are still ranked, and they were still ranked 10th, so they're not supposed to win, if that makes sense. Now they know that they beat Pakistan. And I mean, I wonder if playing in Pakistan worked against us in a way, because you know, they got to learn more about us, come up with, and they would have been targeting us, I'm sure, and they would have come up with very specific plans against us. So it was a bit of a counterpunch from them after a difficult series loss in Pakistan. And it was a resounding victory. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think it's a setback. I think they'll regroup, but they'll be disappointed with how it went. But hopefully it fuels further training. And it's a big summer coming up.
It really is. And, you know, ahead of the competition, we were talking about the age profile and how their average age was 24. And like, that's just the number. There's a lot of cricketers within those young players as well. But moving past that now, we're going to have a team that's going to be even more experienced. It might have been the experience that they wanted in terms of victories, but they will have learned a huge amount, you'd feel, from the last month or so.
Yeah, more than any other sport, I think cricket, it's an individual team sport. So you need performances to draw on yourself when you're in tough spots. So take Orla Prendergast, for example. You know, she played incredible cricket against some of the toughest teams to play against in the world. So if she's in a tough spot, or she's in a position where she can win a match, she's got the experiences from this World Cup to draw upon. She knows she's done that before. She knows she's hit that six, or she's hit that spinner, or she's run down the track against every bowler that played at the World Cup almost. So that's just her. And you know, Leah Paul can know that she came back after, you know, but not bowling her best in the last 6 months to really improving at a World Cup. And that's just to name two players that have had good experiences. Karen Murray, 3 wickets against England. She's done that now. So those are the small things you have to take. I mean, they're not really that small either. So even though you don't win a game, you're not learning from that. You can learn from your personal performance, especially if it's a good one. And that's always in the bank whenever you play going forward. And the more players that we have that do things like that, and we are getting more players performing. It used to just be one or two consistently performing. You are getting more players performing, then that really builds the team's confidence and builds their experience and their knowledge and their ability to win games going forward.
How do the collective push on now and develop and progress?
Well, I think the under-19s that were just at their World Cup need to start thinking about trying to push for spots in the senior squad, maybe not in the team, but in the senior squad. You know, Rebecca Stokoe, unfortunately, was injured and Rachel Delaney came out to fill her spot. So there's kind of a group of 16 there and a couple of players who weren't selected at all. And, you know, Ava Canning's been injured. So there's a group of about, you know, 18 to 20 that Ed would be selecting from. But we want those under-19s that were just out in South Africa before the senior team to start pushing on. And I think that's going to be really important at the Super Series this summer. So I think the stronger that can get, the more those younger players can start performing, because we haven't really seen any of them do anything big in the Super Series. I think that'll be a sign that the general level is getting higher, and that's really the difference. You know, the teams that get to the end, you know, Australia, England, maybe not South Africa, they don't really have a great domestic structure, but they play around the world. Their international players play in the likes of the Big Bash and things like that. Those are the teams that do the best, because they've got such a huge number of players to select from. So we need to broaden our base. So I think that's got to be the focus outside of just winning matches for the senior team.
How beneficial then, just from an exposure point of view, because if we look at the amount of coverage that this team would have got at the tournament, and then even just the game itself, and the level that it seems to have raised to the interest, the final, Australia, the standards, it all feels like it's trending upwards. Can Ireland benefit from all of that?
I think so. The more tournaments there are, the more spaces there are for players to get picked up. Now, we didn't have anyone picked up in the WPL, but maybe like English players might start selecting. They'll only go to one or two tournaments a year because, you know, you get burned out otherwise. So hopefully it won't just be Gabby Lewis that is going to these things. I know she's going to Fairbreak. That's coming up soon. But you'd have to think, if Orla's available, that she'll be hopefully picked up in some kind of franchise. I'm hoping some kind of 100 team is eyeing her up. But you never know. There might be a couple more. Maybe if you perform against a country, they tend to pick you up as well. So maybe Karen Murray's in the shop window. You never know. But yeah, so as long as we don't get left behind, it should be a rising tide. What's that phrase again?
Lifts all boats.
Lifts all the ships.
Yeah, something like that anyway. Yeah. And then just from Ed's point of view, like, I know it's a difficult situation to be in when, I guess, it's a results game. Like, you know, whether we like it or not, top level sport is results based, and no doubt will have been difficult for him to just not get a result. Like, it's as simple as that almost.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to him extensively about it yet. Obviously, I'm only just home myself, and I'll wait till I see him in person. He's not really we're not a phone family, I have to say. But he's someone who wins, and he's someone who performs at the top level, and he's a very gritty cricketer as well, as good to watch. So it would have been tough for him not to win a match. And I think as a coach myself, and I remember saying this to another coach that I had before, when you send your team out and they're not doing what you coach them, you nearly want to tell everyone, this isn't what I told them to do. When your team are making mistakes and you're the coach, everyone looks at you, and they kept on zooming in on him. Mm-hmm. I felt very sorry for him, actually. I was like, it would have been better for him if they didn't know what he looked like, you know.
Yeah,
I think he hit the next match, but you're kind of saying, I obviously didn't teach them this. I can only bring them to the water, and then they've got to drink. So that's the difficulty when you're a coach, and he's obviously learning that now. If he didn't know before, he does now. But yeah, I'm sure hopefully he'll take a couple of weeks off and just decompress, because he's so invested in that team and in all the girls, and he wants them to win for them, not for him.
Yeah, of course. And for the game as a whole as well. Yeah. Isabel, thank you so much for that. But before you go, we're doing kind of a cup special today, and we're getting people's memories of the Irish Senior Cup, their favourite stories. Do you have any?
Oh, my favourite Irish Senior Cup story. John will kill me because I'll forget the details exactly, because he would have been playing them. But I love the Irish Senior Cup. It's probably my favourite tournament in both hockey and cricket. But I think when Marion were playing Railway Union in the Irish Senior Cup final, I don't know the year, it was in North County. Trent Johnson, Kevin O'Brien were on the opposition, and I just never saw the ball, like so many balls get lost. They were hitting it over the clubhouse. This is Trent Johnson and Kevin O'Brien now, not my team. Mm-hmm. And then Marion won the final on Duckworth Lewis. It was just an incredible batting performance. My brother Dom actually was batting, and with our professional at the time, Greg, and they won after the game only went to 20 overs in the second innings, and Railway were kind of wandering around as if they'd already won at the interval. And you know, one of my really good friends, Ruthann O'Brien, was there, and she was kind of, I was kind of not making eye contact with her because I was so annoyed about how badly Marion had done in the first innings. And then as the game was going on, she wasn't making eye contact with me as Marion were kind of coming out on top. So it just was such an incredible match, and that's probably my favourite outstanding memory of it.
Sounds good. And then just a prediction, anyone you're favouring for the cup?
Oh God, you've really put me on the spot now. You can't really look past. I actually can't think of anyone. Clontarf, maybe. I'm going to go with Clontarf, even though John will kill me again.
It's going to be big trouble in the house today.
They will be fighting. I'll tell them not to listen this time. I think Clontarf are on the up, so maybe they'll be in it to win it.
Okay, well, we have it on tape now as well, so we're not getting away from it. Thank you so much for your time this morning and for filling us in on all of that. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Marie.
Now, I'm delighted to say that Stella Downs of Leinster Cricket joins us now. Stella, it's such an exciting time now for the Irish Senior Cup and the National Cup. Tell me, do you have a favourite story from these cup competitions?
Oh, wow. There are so many, because it's everybody's favourite competition. I think it used to be that if you were drawn away in the first round, it was just a nightmare and you'd cobble together a team and just go and lose. And then we ended up in a final against Lurgan many years ago, which we lost, and it hurt. And we thought, well, it won't be too long. And we waited another 20 years before we actually finally managed to get our hands on the trophy. So I suppose my favourite story would have to be the year that we won it. We had been relegated the previous year, so we were in what's now the Championship. And we had been really hurt by that. And the following season, we were playing in the Championship and had a great run in the Irish Senior Cup. And we won the final out in Malahide when the place was all set up for an international. So the atmosphere was incredible. You know, there were stands and everything around. And I can just recall sitting in the tent scoring and tears running down my face. I couldn't even see my scorebook for the last over because I thought the Holy Grail is within touching distance. And it meant so much. Owen Delaney was our captain then, and Owen carried the Bob Kerr trophy for the next month, I'd say. He slept with it. He brought it to the club every time he came down and sat with his arm around it in the bar. It was just, it's the premier competition, and it's the one that you really want to win. So I'll be forever grateful to Andrew Porter, who scored a century that day and won it for us, because I really started to believe that it was never going to be ours. So that has to be my favourite story. And last year hurt getting to the semi-final and leaving it out on the field. So we'll be mad keen for this year.
Celebrations aside, Stella, what does it do for a club to, as you said, get that Holy Grail?
Oh, it's just, I don't know, it's a different feeling. I mean, we've been an incredibly successful club in the last probably two decades. But nothing has meant more than that win. You know, it's just the whole competition is brilliant because you're playing teams that you don't get an opportunity to play. You're traveling outside your region, or you have visitors coming to you. And every match is just it's an event, you know, because you have people traveling. So you're laying on food for them. You're laying on coffee in the morning. Everybody is kind of up from early in the day, making sure that everything goes well. And it always guarantees a crowd. It's just a really special competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I agree. The kind of the occasion side and the event and that part of sport is great. It kind of gives you those memories because it's something different.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you make so many friends in cricket right across the country because, you know, we're a small country. But the opportunity to play against clubs and make friendships with clubs in other regions is hugely important, you know.
So looking to this season, who do you think is going to do well in both the Senior Cup and the National Cup?
Well, I suppose I'd have to speak with my Leinster cap on and look at some of the ties. I've looked at the ties in the first round for both competitions. It'd be very hard to write off Pembroke. I think they have got such a strong side. And I suppose it will depend on their Irish players and whether they are free and fit to play in all rounds of the competition. But they'd be very hard to write off. And YMCA would be another one with the Tector boys there at the heart of the team. That's always going to mean that it's they're going to be challenging for it. And it's one that they have never won either. So I know that they would be very keen to get their hands on it. And then there's Balbriggan. You know, Balbriggan are a... They're an up-and-coming side, and Andre Botha has done phenomenal work with them out there, and they won the Premiership last year. So, you know, they're going to be a side to be reckoned with. So I'd say it could be any of them. But, of course, obviously, I'm going to say that the favourites have to be Clontarf, you know. So that would be my feeling for the Irish Senior Cup, you know, that it really is an open race. And, obviously, CIYMS are a phenomenal side from the NCU, and they would probably be at the moment the favourites for the competition, but anything can happen, and that's the great thing about it. In the National Cup, you have to look at North County. You know, they've won it last year. They are they're a strong side, and again, it's a competition that they love. They won the Irish Senior Cup a number of times, and I think that'd be very hard to discount. But Rush could be in there in the shake-up too. You know, they're at home in the first round, and Rush is a difficult place to go. There's that strong Fingal support. So, it'll be a very interesting one. But my heart will be with Wexford Wanderers playing in their very first National Cup because I'm a Wexford girl, and they were the first names out of the hat in the National Cup, and it'd be great to see them get a run in it. So,
thanks, Stella.
Those would be predictions.
It sounds like it's going to be really competitive anyway, that's for sure. We appreciate you taking the time and for sharing those memories with us, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Stella. Now, I'm delighted to say that Lawrence Moore of Northwest Cricket Union joins us. Now, Lawrence, we've been chatting about the Irish Senior Cup and the National Cup and getting people's memories and favourite stories from those competitions. Do you have any?
Any favourite stories? Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, I was never good enough as a player to even watch the Irish Senior Cup. So my favourite story of the Irish Senior Cup is an umpiring story. In 2003, I think it was, I had done my umpiring exams, and as a Kenner Award for passing, we'd done an exchange visit in Leinster. And there was four umpires, the late Eric Cook, Sam McConnell, myself and Jim Finlay went down. And for the life of me, I know I was umpiring at the Hills, and it was the Hills against one of the NCU sides. The other three guys were scattered around. I think Eric was at Railway Union, but whatever. We met up. We were staying in a B&B in Balbriggan, and we met up back, as you did in those days, at the Balrothery Inn before and after the games. And I drove down. I, for my son, was the only teetotaler among the four. Anyway, long story short, after all the games was over, we arrived back. I think North County was the last match, so we met Eric there, and we all drove back. Went into the B&B and picked up the hotel keys, and we were kind of that far through there. And the girl gave me three keys. She says, there's three rooms, to work it out between yourselves. And we decided we'd head out. So by the time we get back to the B&B, the other three guys were like Curly, Larry, and Moe. They were the worst for wear. So I was in no form for it, and I gave out the keys and put my head around the door, and I seen a nice big double bed. I says, this is mine here. There you are, Jim. There's yours. And so Eric got a room, I got a room, and Jim and Sam shared a room. And we get back up. Now, I noticed in the morning when I went down to waken Eric that there was three single beds in his room, and he was lying in the middle of them. So I was afraid to look at Sam's room to see what the story was there, because I knew I had a double bed. So when we get back home, we had to give a presentation to the union. Robin Glenn was our chairman, and Robin said, can you let me know how you get on? I said, listen, it was great, a great experience. They umpired the Hills, and, you know, Eric was at North County, and the Irish Senior Cup, my first ever involvement. You know, but it was lovely to meet the players that you'd only read about before and seen clubs that you'd only seen, you know, heard about before. Lovely experience. And Sam McConnell got up at the back and he says, Mr. Chairman, I'm delighted that Lawrence had such a great experience. Number one, he says, my weekend, it was probably the worst weekend of my life. I had to endure his driving on the way to Dublin. I then was sent to YMCA, which is probably the only ground in Ireland where you can't get a whiskey. And finally, Robin, Mr. Moore decided he would send me and Jim Finlay into a camp bed in somebody's cupboard. And that's where we slept. The two of them were in a wee tiny single bed. I didn't know this at the time, but they get the three keys, and that's where they ended up. So that's my memory of the Irish Senior Cup.
Right, well, I think it's safe to say never go on a trip with you anywhere anyway, Lawrence.
No, well, no, anything can happen. No. As a tight teetotaler.
So what is it about the Senior Cup that is so special and that people love so much?
Well, look, the Irish Senior Cup, as you probably know yourself, Mary, the Northwest sides of late haven't had a great record in the Irish Senior Cup. Look, it is the premier cup competition in the country, and everybody knows that. Despite the bad records, I remember doing an interview with Richard Key, the Donegal captain, a number of years ago, and asked him, when you start the season out, what's your priorities? And he says, the two cups, then the league, and then, you know, your T20s and stuff. But the two cups were Northwest Senior Cup and the Irish Senior Cup. Even then, when Northwest clubs were struggling. So it's a prestige, but it's become, for Northwest sides anyway, almost the Holy Grail now at the minute. It's very elusive.
So if you were to look at the upcoming Cups, who would you identify as being in with a really good chance from your own region?
From our own? Well, look, I mean, you're always, Donegal have a home tie. They start off with a home tie against Carrick. Carrick great year last year, but I think they've lost a few players over the winter. Donegal will always be very dangerous, especially at the home and cup competitions, and that's a game they'll think they can win. And then when you get into the second round stage, then, I mean, everything's going to be difficult after that. So Donegal, Brigade, and Brady as well, although Brigade and Brady have two very difficult games. Brigade are away to Pembroke, and Brady are away to Railway Union, so two very difficult games. Look, as I say, Marie, at this stage, we'd be hoping to get three or four teams through to the second round. That would be as far as I'd be looking.
Okay, well, if you were to look at the wider competition then, who for you is favourite?
Yeah. again, look, Wellington last year were excellent. They've invested heavily. The whole infrastructure at the club looks really good. You're going to have to be looking at them. I know our Korean travel, the YMCA. YMCA looks so strong, don't they? Look, those are the sort of sides. I know it's so predictable, but those are the two sides that I wouldn't want to draw. And as an outside chance, North Down, if they, you know, it depends on what kind of sides. There's still another 8 weeks before the season starts and what kind of player recruitment there is. But as an outsider, maybe you'd be looking at North Down. But I think maybe YMCA, Wellington again are one of the sides to watch out for.
Okay. And what about the National Cup, Lawrence?
The National Cup, well, the tie that stands out for me is County Kerry against St Johnstone. Mm-hmm. St Johnstone lads like to socialise, and I'm trying to think, God knows what day they'll be back from County Kerry. Marie, I have no idea. I wouldn't want to be driving that bus, I'll tell you that, Marie.
Well, I'd say they wouldn't want you to be driving down there either now.
It's very true. The National Cup has been a wee bit kinder. I mean, we've never won it, but it's been a wee bit kinder to North West sides. I'm looking forward to seeing Letterkenny, who are, you know, a fairly new side up mm-hmm. here. They're playing Craigie in the first round away from home. That'll be an interesting game. Glendermot up here have strengthened quite a bit, or looking to strengthen quite a bit now over the close season. They're playing Athlone. I don't really know an awful lot about Athlone, if I'm going to be honest, Marie, but I think those two sides will do okay. Strabane have a very, very difficult tie. They're away to Rush. Look, I think if St Johnstone get through at County Kerry and if Glendermot beat Athlone, those are the two sides I would be keeping a wee eye on to do well. Ballyspallin, of course, have a bye, so we're guaranteed to have somebody in the round two. It's not going to be a complete disaster.
Okay, well, it sounds good anyway, Lawrence. Thanks a million for taking the time and for sharing your stories with us and giving us your predictions for the upcoming competitions, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Marie.
Now, I am delighted to say that Ali McCalmont joins me now from Northern Cricket Union. Ali, you're so very welcome. We're chatting about the Irish Senior Cup and the National Cup and getting people's memories and predictions for you. Do you have any special stories, any standout memories?
Obviously playing in the All-Ireland Cups, my home club, Carrickfergus, we played in both the Senior Cup and the National Cup. We actually won the National Cup in 2014, which was a particularly special time for us, playing in the final there. In terms of the Senior Cup, to be honest with you, not a great record in the Senior Cup for myself. Never actually won a game, believe it or not. We always got knocked out in the first round. And probably on a playing side, we played Leinster in our very first game in the Senior Cup at home around about 2005, I think, and Leinster gave us a right hammer on that day, and it sort of opened their eyes to the level we'd be playing at in the Irish Senior Cup. So in terms of playing, it wasn't a great competition for the club and myself, but I don't really look at that in terms of memories. I'm looking at where I played and, mm-hmm. and the new grounds, and always the draw was the thing that we looked at and said, you love to get a home draw in a cup, but actually in the Senior Cup, you'd love an away draw. Got the bus trip and headed off. Yeah, we went on. It actually was that. We went on tour, but it was always an early season, sort of a game, maybe early May, and it got the club going again. You know, the players and the supporters all got on the bus, travelled down to Dublin or the North West and played the game. And if I'm being honest with you, some of my best memories were actually the bus trips rather than the actual games themselves. So, you've seen over the last few years the social media about the competition and even the live streaming of the games and the finals. It just raised the bar a wee bit in terms of competition itself, and I think it's a fantastic competition now.
Yeah, I've been hearing some lovely stories, and just even as you said, like being part of it, going on those trips, trying to win the games and represent your club. Not everybody gets to it. It's so hard to win a cup in any sport, but being part of it and being able to share those occasions with friends and family seems to be what it's all about, really.
I think that's a huge thing. As I say, you get to play your league games, you know, you pretty much play the same teams fairly regularly. So just that trip away to somewhere we have never been, some of the lovely grounds, especially, mm-hmm. you know, now in Cork, especially, you know, getting a big trip down there. And I know some of the guys have been talking to you in the NCU from the National Cup particularly, where you do get to see the I hate to use the word lesser clubs, but you understand what I mean. You know, down mm-hmm. to see these new clubs that you've never been to before. And hospitality is a big thing as well. I know the Northwest guys really pride themselves on bringing people up to there and showing the hospitality of their union. And just even things like that, meeting people that you've never met before or once or twice and just catching up with them again. It's just what I'm trying to get across. It's not just about the cricket.
Yeah.
You know, when it gets to the finals, sure, it becomes serious and it becomes all that. But certainly first round, it's starts to get the buzz going, and you know, when you get to meet people again, and it's a real good combination, I think, both the Senior Cup and the National Cup.
Yeah, and although not everybody can win, everybody starts out and tried to win anyway. And if we're looking at the ties coming up and the broader picture of the Cups, who do you think is going to be in with the chance from your own region first in the Senior Cup and the National Cup?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hate to sort of bring it up here, but and start a wee bit of a row maybe, but I think CI's win last year, I think that takes the NCU to the highest number of wins now. So I hate to start a wee bit of rivalry between the unions, but I don't think that's an unhealthy thing. You know, mm-hmm. I do think that that's a good thing to have, a wee bit of rivalry between the unions. But CI, obviously, last year, that was their first ever victory in the Senior Cup, and they're a very, very strong side. And over the winter, you know, come to their loss, but they've really strengthened again, you know. Brought in a couple of New Zealand players and a couple of others, but I think their batting lineup, they've got Ross Adair at the top, and we all know what he can do. You know, he can win a game on his own. And then they've got a couple of guys there, Chris Dougherty, and probably, I think, the most underrated player in the NCU, in John Matchett. And the more people talk about him underrated, he becomes rated, if you know what I mean. But he's a real, real talented player and just holds them together. And he's done well last year in both the T20 and the Senior Cup. So their bowling's pretty set as well. Look at good spin options, good bowling options. And, you know, it's not the gutsiest of predictions, but I don't think they'll be far away, you know. They've lost Nigel Jones, who everybody in Cricket Ireland knows well, both in Leinster and the NCU. He's a massive figure in the NCU. He's moved on to Lisburn, which will obviously strengthen them again. They've both got byes in the first round, so that's a big help as well, obviously. They're straight through to the second round. The other matches, I mean, there's six teams in the NCU here, and I would say probably, with my prediction hat on, I would say three wins, three losses maybe in the first round. I'm looking at Warringstown again, perennial Senior Cup, won the most Senior Cups of any club. Maybe, you know, rebuilding a little bit at the minute, but new captain and Greg Thompson, ex-Irish international as well, and, you know, they've got a couple of young guys coming through. I'd look out for Morgan Topping, who's been coming through the emerging Knights and into the senior Knights team. So he had a good year last year and maybe would kick on this year. But I think Warringstown are going to really look to James McCollum to come back to his Ireland form, basically. He struggled over the past years. He'd admit that himself, I think, just getting scores. But if he comes back to his undoubted ability, I think Warringstown could really be pushing again this year. I think they're one to watch. North Down and CSNI, a few changes there as well. CSNI have lost a couple of guys that they had brought in, and but they'll be replaced. But obviously, new players coming in at the gamble, and you don't know what you're going to get. But I mean, they could be a good side as well. And I would say to you now, I'm going to say there will be a few playing alterations. There will be players coming in and out in the NTU over the next. And then looking at Woodvale and Stonians and Carrick. Woodvale still dependent on a few Estonians rebuilding, and my own side, Carrick Fergus, as I said earlier, you know, we've only had one real run at it. We got to the quarter final a few years back, but you know, they brought in Stephen Smith as a coach, and just in the NCU, I think that's going to be a thing. Maybe looking forward, the best two teams last year were CI and Lisburn, and they both had dedicated coaches, Niamh Butler and Ewell Graham. And that really helped them, I think, dominate NCU cricket last year. So maybe that's a trend that's going to move forward. But if we come back to it, it's a boring old tip, but I'd be looking at TIYMS to be going well in the competition.
And what about the National Cup?
National Cup, as I said earlier, great competition, love it. The only thing about the National Cup is sometimes teams in the NCU don't early on in the season treat it as a big competition. They, as I said, maybe they treat it as a bit of a bus trip and stuff, but when they get into it, then, you know, the hype comes and the media comes. And certainly the guys from Terranure in North County last year certainly said when they got to the final, it was a magnificent occasion. And if the guys maybe in the NCU thought early on, let's give this a run, they could do well this year. I think there's two teams that are playing senior cricket there in the Premiership, but they obviously qualify for the National Cup. That's the Teriyaki and Cliftonville Academy. And Cliftonville Academy in particular have signed a few players this year. They've strengthened. So they could go well. And there's a bit of a rumour that maybe an Irish international could be possibly turning out once or twice for them this year. It's a bit of a rumour now, but it could happen. You never know. And if he, I'm not going to mention his name, but I think we all know who he is. But if he turned out, then obviously that would change everything for Cliftonville. But yeah, Teriyaki. The other teams, I mentioned it at the draw. Muckamore, I think, are a bit of a dark horse this year. They've gone away and signed a lot of players, brought some youngsters through, and I think they could be a real good side. They've got Wexford in the first round, which is a tremendous trip for them. Away to Wexford, they're playing their first season, I think, in the National Cup. So if Muckamore can get through that first round and get into the season and gel their team a wee bit, I think they could give it a good run this year. But the other three ties are some crackers. I mean, Letterkenny travelling to Belfast to play Craigie, and Ballymena in there as well, and Temple Patrick. So look, a good lineup from the NTU, and it's been a Leinster tournament really last 5 years. I think it's been Leinster all the way, and then again, my Kilkerrick was the last team to win it from the NTU in 2014. So it'll be fantastic to see, you know, NCU representative in the National Cup this year. And as I say, maybe I'll stick my neck out and go for Muckamore, maybe.
Sure, why not? Ali, thank you so much for sharing your memories and your stories and giving us your predictions. We really appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
I'm delighted to say that Ted Williamson of Munster Cricket joins us now. Ted, we've been talking about the different cup competitions, the Irish Senior Cup and the National Cup, and we're getting people's memories of them. Do you have any standout ones?
Thanks for having me, Maria. I suppose the first thing is, like, if you look at specific performances and that, I was lucky to get to a semi-final once when I was playing with Phoenix up in Dublin, and James Shannon had a day out and he battered us all over the place, and that was the end of that. We went back up to Dublin with our tails between our legs. But that's not the stuff that I remember, to be honest with you, Maria. It's more friendships and building relationships and between players and then clubs. So, like, when I was playing properly, the first thing I would do is look at the draw and then look at the teams that we're playing against and see if there was guys on those teams that I'd have played, say, national youth stuff with or played against in the Interpros. And that was my, like, yes, we play hard cricket on the day, but couldn't wait to get off the pitch then and catch up with guys. And it was probably 10% of the stuff we talk about cricket. The rest of it was life. And do you remember that time when and Power the Family? And it, for me, that's what the National Cup and Senior Cups are all about, is building relationships and seeing fellas that you haven't seen for years and just catching up. That's my biggest memory, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm getting that a lot. Just the fact that you get to go on tour, you get to showcase your own club and you get to make those friendships, put names to faces, and you get to involve everybody around you as well, family, friends, because it's just a really big occasion. And sometimes that's the great thing about sport, that it does become an occasion and an event.
Yeah, and like as you say, like generally you stay over, so rarely now do you get to socialise. You know, the way all sport has gone, including cricket, rarely. I mean, back when I played, we couldn't wait to socialise, and you learned a lot in the bar afterwards by just talking about the game, but that rarely happens now, whereas now with Senior Cups and guys travelling, they have that stay overnight, and they get to sit around and chat, and that's really powerful. It happened last year with our guys when they went to Donemana, and some of them were starstruck because they were playing against Andy McBride and guys that have played for Ireland, and then when they got to chat to them, they're just people. They're nice blokes, do you know what I mean? And I think that's powerful. That really is powerful, especially just in life, because cricket finishes, life carries on, you know. So I think it's about making friends and building relationships, as I said.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. So what about this year coming up? Do you have any fancies for the Cups?
I mean, look, it, you can't go far away from the guys who would have got to semis last year and got to finals. Guys, generally, teams that get to the top of their leagues, top two or three, is the ones who the consistency is always there. For our sake down in Munster, I suppose it'd be interesting to see how my own club Harlequins get on, because they've had decent success getting two All Ireland finals in the T20, and then can they bring that into the 50 over stuff? Cork County are playing in Sarbmore, who they've beaten before. we have an all-Munster tie, so we're guaranteed somebody in the second round when Galway play Limerick. And then County Kerry from Munster are always very strong, and they have a match at home. So from a local perspective, there's lots on the table and lots of excitement, I think. But there'll be the same names, and come business end, there'll be the same names, I think, it's the last kind of 2 or 3 years, whether there's...
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be competitive anyway.
No doubt. And I think the great thing about it is that you're playing away a lot, and you have to adapt. I mean, looking at it from a coaching perspective, now the first thing you do is you start talking about wickets and grounds and angles and players and, you know, trying to do a bit of scouting, even ringing lads and that. So back in our day, we just rocked up, played and had a few pints afterwards. But now it's a case of there's a lot more detail goes into it, as you'd imagine. So I just think there's so much about it. It's just massively exciting for everybody, because there's something new on the table every year.
Yep, it sounds good. So much to look forward to. Ted, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy it. It comes around only once a season, so it's brilliant to be part of it and get going. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Marie. Thank you.
Now it's time for our Answer Me This segment, and I'm delighted that Andrew White, National Men's Selector, joins us on the line. Andrew, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Flat out in school?
Yes, no rest at all. 3 kids at home as well, and juggling everything, but it's good. Everybody's fitting well, so no complaints.
That's the main thing. So this new segment that we've had going out for the last few weeks has been working out great. Lots of really varied answers, so we're going to get to it if that works for you. So first of all, what do you enjoy most about cricket?
I think it's, I suppose now that I'm that bit older, certainly in terms of a playing contribution, things change. But I really, really love that team aspect, you know, the camaraderie. A lot of friendships built up over the years. And I suppose from a club cricket environment, being able to travel around the country, seeing a lot of, I suppose, players, not only you play against or have played with over the years, but you know, some of the older players that have been around for a long time and have you know, done so much for cricket. It's always nice to share chats with them around the boundary, and even the likes of the Irish Cup for me is a really great experience. You know, getting down to Dublin or up to the Northwest and seeing some old friends that you don't see very often, even during the cricket season. But ultimately, I suppose it's about winning, isn't it? And it's a long day if you don't win. But then the other argument to that is, even if you lose, it's better than a Saturday afternoon in the shops. So I suppose it's win-win, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually a very good way to look at it. So growing up then, who was your sporting hero?
That I wouldn't say I have one particular sporting hero growing up. I think, you know, my brother and I would have played a lot of backyard cricket, back garden cricket. And then even, you know, FA Cup finals, we would have gone out and tried to reenact the cup-winning goal and things like that. But I remember Mum and Dad took us to see Ireland-Australia in 1985 at Downpatrick. And Mum had taken me to the bathroom, and she lifted me up to the window to see Alan Border walking off after scoring 94, 95, 96 runs or whatever it was. And I suppose for me, that was my first memory of having seen somebody on TV and then seeing them in the flesh. And so I always had a soft spot for Alan Border. But I suppose really, as someone who's been involved in sport now for a long time, you take your hat off to anybody that takes sport to a new level. And you look at the likes of the, you know, Tiger Woods or, you know, Roger Federer. Those guys are absolutely amazing. So they stick out for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. So when you were younger, what sports were you involved in over the years?
Loved my football when I was young, but then whenever I went to secondary school in Newton Ards, it was a rugby playing school. So went into the rugby. I was probably, well, there was no probably about it. I was definitely a non-tackling out half who then became a non-tackling fullback. And it's ironic because now that I'm coaching rugby in school, I just don't understand why guys don't make tackles, but I'm the wrong person to be sort of giving off about it. So sort of taking all ages of rugby from 12 up to 18 at school, and enjoy that during the winter. But I suppose for me, my first love is the cricket, and get back to that. Starting in school now to get the cricket up and running again, and Love my golf. I'm a fair weather golfer who would roam the country looking for somebody to play with and some of the nice courses to get on. So that's really the sporting background.
I don't know where you'd find the time for golf. What about being the national selector, though? So what exactly does a national selector do?
It's changed in its role in many ways over the last number of years. Working closely with, obviously, Richard Holdsworth, high performance manager, Heinrich Milan, the head coach, working closely with the coaching staff and then the scouts that are involved at the minute. A lot of it is around, you know, strategizing in terms of succession planning across all the skill sets. Then obviously looking at form and fitness of players. There's the contractual piece as well, which is, it's a time consuming piece, but it's really important, obviously, in terms of the organization and for the players. You know, the detail that goes into the contractual side of things is really important. And then, of course, you know, in terms of selection for squads, for tours, looking at our pinnacle events. So obviously this year we have possibly one qualifying tournament in the T20 World Cup, possibly a 50-over qualifying tournament in Zimbabwe, depending on how results go. Possibly then a T20 World Cup later on. And you're working back from that to try and make sure that all the plans are in place, and I suppose then when we look at even the upcoming tour for Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, you know, looking at conditions, looking at the types of players that have been successful in those conditions across the world, and then trying to, along with Heinrich, come up with a plan in terms of how you go about trying to win in those conditions and selecting a squad according to that.
And what about the process itself? Like, what's that like? How long does the actual process take? And just how does it all work with you guys?
Yeah, I think it's certainly not a case of sitting down some evening and picking a squad of 14 or whatever. It's a week, several weeks long process. And if you take an isolated, let's take, for example, the selection for this upcoming tour that I've just mentioned, that's going back weeks, even a couple of months in the process, in terms of, you know, being in constant touch with Heinrich. You're dealing with the franchise world now, where some of our players have been away. You're looking at their recovery time, given the volume of cricket that we're now playing. And you're looking then at, you know, making sure the players are in peak physical condition for that upcoming tour. You're relying on the outstanding work that Scott Irvine does in terms of data on the opposition and even on our own players, data in terms of the conditions, the venues that we're going to be playing at, liaising with coaching staff and the scouts before really sitting down to finalise that squad. So it's a process which we try to do as diligently as possible. And yeah, I have to admit that I've learned an awful lot over the last number of years from Graham Ford and from Heinrich, two outstanding coaches in their own right, and been really impressed with Heinrich here since he's come in and the direction he's trying to take the squad forward in.
So what are the best and worst aspects of being a selector?
Oh, the worst aspect, the most difficult part is obviously informing players that they haven't been selected for an upcoming tour. Specifically those global events, the likes of a World Cup, because having been a player, I know how much it means to these guys to be selected. You know, I was left out of squads. I was left out of a World Cup in 2015. So I know what goes through their minds. I know the feelings of that, and therefore your heart goes out to them when they do miss out on selection. The best part is arguably, you know, seeing players that we've identified maybe from a number of years previous as they've been coming through the system. You know, even take somebody like Stephen Doheny of recent times out in Zimbabwe and seeing him, you know, he got 70-odd there in one of the ODIs. And I suppose being able to see them show that they have the ability to compete at that level arguably, though, what you really want to see is consistency of performance. Harry Tector, as an example, has been outstanding, and I've known Harry for a number of years now, and saw him come through the academy, the drive and the will for these players to be successful, and they give their absolute utmost, which is a credit to everybody involved, and you want to see those players do well, I think seeing the guys being successful and seeing Ireland win, also what it means to all the people in the background is also really satisfying, even though it's not necessarily connected with the selection piece. It's from an organisation point of view, it's great to see everybody pulling their weight and trying to see the performances of whether it be men or women, and seeing the joy that brings to people.
What's the best piece of cricket advice you ever received?
Funny, I was listening to Jeremy Bray when you had him on there recently, and he talked about not messing with a game of cricket. I don't know whether he was referring or whether he was thinking of the incident that I was thinking of when he was talking about it, because the two of us were batting at Lord's against the MCC, and Brazo was on 95, and we must have needed, 10 runs to win or something, and the two of us tried to manufacture the game whereby he would get to his 100 at Lord's, which would have been a great moment for him. And I think we turned down a single. I refused to run a single to allow him to keep the strike to see if he could get to 100. And of course, he got out the next ball. And I know Eddie Burrell was far from pleased at the fact that we tried to manufacture the situation. And Eddie talked about not messing with the game and having the utmost respect for the game. So that was a very strong lesson learned at that early stage of my career. Roy Torrens over the years has given me advice on a daily basis on tour about what not to do and what to do. And even somebody like Michael Caulfield there, who's the sports psychologist for the team, has been brilliant in his advice. And it's not often golden nuggets of wisdom. It's just on a day-to-day basis in terms of preparing and planning to play in international cricket. And sometimes it's often the simple things and the simple pieces of advice that are the most effective.
Yeah, that all makes really good sense. But away from cricket then, what does the perfect day look like for you?
Away from cricket? I need to be careful here now what direction I go in. From a family point of view, we love the North Coast. Love getting up onto the beach there in Port Stewart or Port Rush and getting in the water. Now, being up there, you've got to get around to golfing as well, don't you? So if we could have the family time in the morning and a bit of golf in the afternoon and then out for dinner, it's hard to beat. A lovely part of the world and somewhere we as a family really love going to.
Very good. That was very diplomatic. I like
does that cover all bases, does it?
Yeah, you're safe with that one. So I have some quick fire questions to finish. Mullets, nifty or naff?
Oh, naff. It's creeping into school, and I give the guys a hard time at school about it, so naff.
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot more of them, all right. Sledging, part of it or park it?
Park it now, I'm too old.
Your best memory on the cricket field?
Easy to turn to the likes of Pakistan and Zimbabwe and World Cups, but I'm going to go for Intercontinental Cup Final 2005, beating Kenya against all the odds. An incredible game of cricket which lives long in the memory.
A song that you've played the most in the last month?
This is going to sound really sad, but I hardly listen to music at all. I'm a Talk Sport man in the morning. I have an hour's commute to school. So it's Talk Sport with Laura Woods, Alan Brazil, Ali McCoy. Those are the guys that keep me company.
I'm actually with you. I wouldn't be able to answer that either. I never listen to music. Movie that you have last watched and enjoyed?
Well, given that Sky Sports and Monday Night Football and all that sort of thing won't count, it's Matilda. I'm into all these children's movies now, so it was Matilda with the children. That's about the limit for me at the minute, I'm afraid.
Andrew, we have a lot in common. I watched that on Sunday night, so there you go.
Yeah. And not to be knocked, it was a good show. And
yeah, it was. I watched the whole lot of it, which I wouldn't often do, but yeah, I didn't budge for it. I was engaged.
Yeah, good stuff.
That's great. Andrew, thanks a million. That was great. I really appreciate you taking the time and giving us all those insightful answers. They were great. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Marie.
Thanks for listening, and join us again in the next show to discuss the men's tours to Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and central men's and women's contracts news. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, also rate and leave a review, as it really helps other fans find us. And if you have any questions, you can email us at thegreenballshow@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to find an answer. Farewell for now.